Fears of a looming crisis across the science and university sectors are set to get a closer look by the government. Two new advisory groups, led by Sir Peter Gluckman, will focus on the way the sectors are funded and operated. Concerns are growing within the science community about a slow erosion of funding and cuts to hundreds of jobs in tertiary education. The 10-year multi-million-dollar fund, known as the National Science Challenges, is due to dry up this year with no clarity on whether it will continue. The former government's reform plan, Te Ara Pairangi, which included a $450 million investment to turn Wellington into a science city, has also been scrapped. The Minister for Science, Innovation and Technology is Judith Collins. She acknowledges there are well-documented issues in the science sector. Minister, good morning and thanks for your time.
Oh, good morning, Catherine.
You speak of well-documented issues in the science system. What is it that these advisory groups will cover?
Well, it's very important that they cover the productivity, as you've just mentioned, but how we can make much better use of science to grow the New Zealand economy and bring about better health outcomes, environmental outcomes, climate change outcomes for New Zealanders and the world. It's amazing to me when I first took over this portfolio in opposition that we have 8 universities, 7 CRIs, Callaghan, and then around 25 different industry research institutes all researching and not nearly enough commercialisation and wealth coming back to the country from that excellent research. It is important that we have more money for science. That money's going to need to come. More money's going to need to come from the commercial sector.
What is the brief for Professor Gluckman and others then? What specifically are they to look into?
We haven't released all the details of the panels, but Professor Gluckman, as you rightly said, is chairing both of the panels, and the point there is to make sure we have continuity between the panels. We're looking at how we fund the funding mechanisms by way in which we have this, what I see, absolutely outrageously overly competitive funding model, whereby everybody, it feels, is after the same money for the same purposes. For instance, just give you an example, of the 7 CRIs, 5 have sought and gained funding to investigate fresh water, where that there might be obviously different parts of that, but ultimately it seems incredibly competitive, and scientists have said themselves that they spend all their time trying to seek funding or make their research go down certain pathways to get that funding. That's going to be one of the things. How we don't properly commercialise, that is going to be another area. I really am also very keen, and I know Peter Gluckman is looking at this, is how do we get our scientists and our CRIs to be able to benefit from the value of their work. Certainly the universities have been better at this, but our CRI scientists have been somewhat left out of the benefit of their work.
Are they not being rewarded for their innovations that, were they to be happening entirely in the private sector, they would be well remunerated for?
Well, I think what's really clear is that they're not getting to be able to retain an interest in the commercialisation, and that's where we need to do better. I mean, some of these scientists are world-leading, and many of them want to be world-leading. We also need to be able to say, how can we as a country benefit from their work, and how can we let them benefit from their work?
Okay. Can we just work through some specifics, because there'll be so many people interested here.
Sure.
I know the Tertiary Education Minister is also part of this review, and there's areas that are her purview, but they undoubtedly affect the rest of the system. It looks like you are looking closely at the performance-based research funding part of universities. Do you believe there's too much emphasis in the funding model for universities on research requirements? Do you want a greater focus on teaching rather than financially incentivising more research in the tertiary institutions?
Well, obviously universities have a very, very important part when it comes to research. I mean, that is one of the differences between universities and teaching only organisations. But it does seem as though the PBRF quality has not, sorry, PBRF has not been as good as it should be and has not necessarily led to the sort of quality that we would be expecting. So that's part of the tertiary, the university's portfolio, and that panel will be looking at that. But it is yet again another symptom of what we've got, as the system has not really had a really good look at and right across. I think looking at CRIs and universities and research and commercialisation, this is probably a better way to actually look at it.
All right, let's have a look at the funding system outside of the University EFTS and the Performance Research Fund. The current funding structure for science dates back to the National Statement 2015-2025, produced under the last national government by Stephen Joyce. Those national science challenges were set up at the same time, and they enabled the government of the day to set priorities for part of the science system. Will that fund continue? It's running out. Will it continue?
Obviously, we have the budget process to go through, Catherine, but I think we're pretty clear that we cannot just keep continuing that funding without the changes that we need. And certainly the National Science Challenges are possibly part of the problem when it comes to the overly competitive nature of how scientists have to get funded to do their research. So it seems to us that may be, they may have gone past their time. There is no funding that has been left, nothing. This is one of those fiscal cliffs that the Finance Minister has talked about. The funding ends in June. We don't have anything kept by the previous government either for this. And it is important now, I think, that we look at just how we are funding.
Okay, so the budget's not till the end of May. So
yes, that's right.
Effectively, they're gone, Minister.
Well, I think it's just be really clear, as we can't keep going down that model, so they're gone.
All right. The overall funding system, extremely complicated, managed through budgets of some six different bodies: MBIE, Royal Society, Callaghan Innovation, Health Research Council, Tertiary Education Commission, Ministry for Primary Industries, plus a number of individual government departments. What are your plans for the future structure of the funding of science?
Well, obviously, it's what the panel is looking at that as well, but it's very clear to me that it is overly complicated. Everything's just too complicated, as you rightly say, very clear, very unclear lines of responsibility, very unclear opportunities for people to work together to get the best outcomes, and everybody, it seems to be, having their 10 cents worth. That means that the bureaucracy around it, the unclearness, must, obviously causes enormous lack of productivity, and this is simply not acceptable. So those are the parts of things we're looking at.
However, each of those agencies I've named and departments I named have their own science and research priorities, potentially, don't they? And they know what they are looking for, potentially. So are you looking for a streamlined system? And if so, what will its priorities be?
Well, that will obviously depend on what the panel comes up with, and then, of course, anything that they do come up with will come through me and then through Cabinet. So I think, when you're looking at, say, MPI, with the Ministry of Primary Industries, they know what they want. They buy certain amounts of research, and obviously that's great, but does that research also get shared in any way with other government agencies or with the wider New Zealand public? Should it be better shared? These are some of the issues I expect to be answered, and how could we do that with and still protect the fact that it's New Zealand science.
What are your views on the Crown Research Institutes as they are structured?
Well, I think we have, obviously seven of them. If I can just give you a few facts on them, just to give an idea. We have seven CRIs plus Callaghan. where they're very overly dependent on government funding and are not taking advantage of funding opportunities in the private sector. I should, however, point out that Plant and Food has done enormously good work around plant varieties and has been able to get quite a significant share of their income from the fact that they've retained interest in plant varieties. And I've had some CRIs say to me, or their chair say to me, well, Plant and Food are very lucky that they've been able to do that. No, actually, they've actually been a bit smart, and we need to look at how they've done that, and is that a good model for others to look to?
So you want commercialisation baked right into the institutions, and you want those scientists who are making innovations that are commercially viable to effectively be shareholders or retain some kind of rights over their work? Is that what I'm hearing?
I would love them to be able to benefit from them, from the work other than just salary. I would love them to be able to become part of the shareholding in some way in terms of their work. The fact is that we are a very small country when it comes to 5 million people. We are losing excellent scientists from out of the Crown sector into the private sector and off overseas. We need to be far more adept at retaining the best of the best.
CRIs and Callaghan together employ something like 4,000 scientists, engineers, technologists. How would you work out who had a share in what?
Well, that's part of what I want the panel to look to. Where it's possible, that would be great. Obviously, there is also research that needs to be very much part of the public good, but also the public good does include growing the New Zealand economy, and that is very important as well. So that's quite complicated, and that's why I want the panel to have a look at it. How can we do it better? Obviously, there will be overseas examples where people do it better. That's what I want that panel to be looking at. We haven't announced all the members of the panel yet, but when it is announced, you'll see that there is quite a significant input from people who have done this sort of work overseas and who we will be able to benefit from their knowledge.
Callaghan, innovation appears to be at some kind of a crossroads with funding pressures and also capital costs with respect to buildings. Your views on it?
Right, well, Callaghan is, say, it's in a difficult position too, as you rightly say. It has old buildings. It has, last year, it received $130 million in revenue from the Crown, which is actually 83% of its revenue. Only 14% came from the commercial sector. For an innovation centre, I've got to say that sounds pretty poor. And we simply can't continue to fund at that sort of level for an innovation centre unless we're going to see the results of that innovation. So it is really important that that's part of this discussion. I think there's a future for Callaghan. I think it's a really exciting future, but it's going to not be in quite the same form as it is now. But it's a really exciting future, I think. I think it's, you know, the secret is in the name, innovation. And it's really, because there's nothing, and if you look at the CRIs and even Callaghan, there's very little focus on advanced technology, and there's very little focused on the fact that the New Zealand economy is moving a lot faster in some areas than others, and we really do need to rethink how we do our science.
I'm conscious of your time, but let's just finish the tour of the funding system as it is, that's about to be reviewed. The third part of the system with some overlap is the contestable. This is the likes of the Marsden Fund, the Health Research Council, some departmental funding. Will all these sources continue, do you expect?
I expect that there will be some amalgamation of some of these funds. It seems ridiculous to me that we have scientists and researchers having to apply to multiple funds for the same piece of work because they go from one fund to the other. So much of their time, they've told me, is being spent trying to get funding from somewhere when it would be much better if we had some form of clearinghouse that actually looks at it and says, this is the, you know, this needs funding, rather than them having to have a buck each way, change their their application just to meet whatever the new, you know, whatever funding requirements are from particular funders. I actually think our scientists have spent far too much time having to look for funding, not nearly as much time as they should be doing what they really want to do, which is science.
Can we talk about, obviously there's a strong focus here on commercialisation. You want to see more research commercialised. But can we talk about your position on pure science and research versus applied science and research? Because you're the Minister for Space. Yet, if we are going to produce graduates who can go and work in space, can work on quantum mechanics, can work on all these very, very high-tech ends of the science spectrum, they need their fundamentals, right? They need to be trained in engineering, they need to be trained in physics, they need to be trained in chemistry. MASSI's just closed its engineering faculty, I understand, they closed their physics some time ago. Victoria University still has physics on their managed pathway to financial sustainability, which means it's still under threat. Have you got your eyes on the basics our scientists are going to need? And if so, how is that going to be supported?
Well, that's where the second panel comes in, which is the university panel. Honestly, I just look at this, Catherine, and I am shocked at the state of our pure science, and certainly the fact that we have universities feeling that they can't keep, like a university like Victoria, wondering whether or not they can keep physics. I mean, for goodness sake, this is basic to so much of our engineering, basic to our space program, basic to much of our advanced technology. Again, you know, that's why we need to have these panels. That's why we need to have experts, not just from New Zealand, which is what we've tended to do in the past, but people who have actually turned around other countries' science sectors and university sectors. And that's once that those panels are announced, the details, you'll see that.
Do you accept the warnings given by leaders in the sector that there's a tipping point where disciplines drop below the critical mass of expertise required, and that they feel they are very close to that in certain disciplines?
That's why we're doing what we're doing. Catherine, I've been listening to scientists for the last 3 years when I've been in this portfolio in opposition. I've been looking at what, listening to them, and I've been hearing them tell me at their absolute frustration that there is, that the whole system has been built around buildings and land and everyone having doing their piece, everyone going after the same money, everyone having to compete against each other, and very little working together. This frustration is not new. It has been going on for a long time, and that's one of the reasons they were so shocked, as I was, at the quality of the response from the previous government and the Te Ara Pairangi document, which didn't even really touch the CRIs, didn't really do anything.
On the question of funding, I heard you talk more about seeking private sector funding opportunities. However, if we look at our overall R&D spend, I think my latest figures might be 1.47% of GDP, comparing to an OECD average of 2.7% of GDP on R&D. I know you will encourage them to go seeking more private sector investment. But what of the government funding component of that? Is there going to be more, Minister? Or is this going to be about higher revenue streams, please, from your commercialisation and higher revenue streams from the private sector? Will there be more government funding for science?
Well, not until we sort out our structures. And I think, too, it's really important to get those sorted and so that we have a plan and the sector knows where we're moving to rather than just throwing it into what we've got now, which is a total mess. I mean, it's pretty dispiriting, and it must be for many scientists to know that it's the current system is all based around them competing with their neighbour rather than them bringing out the best science and them being part of knowing that, you know, they're going to get something from this as well. I think it's really important to understand scientists are people. They've got families to feed.
Yeah, we understand. We hear them too. Minister, can we ask about GM? You're planning significant reform of the GM laws, I think, by the end of 2025. And I know you've spoken of CRISPR. We've covered these technologies a lot. We've talked a lot to people who are either doing pest control work using CRISPR, are doing scientific work using some of these modern technologies, the CAR T-cell work, etc. To cut to the chase, could you give us an indication of the extent of liberalisation of the laws you expect following a reform process and public consultation and everything else? Where do you expect things will get to by the end of next year?
I expect there'll be the position very close to the Australian situation, which will have a dedicated gene technology regulator, which will be the expert to enable, but also gene technology, but also to make sure we have the right protections in place. I mean, this has come about because scientists told me this was what we had to do if we were ever going to deal effectively with our climate change issues and also our environmental issues around things like pests and wilding pines and also our human health. So, you know, this is a very much a science-led proposal, and I'm just so pleased that we're going to do this. This is going to mean that this is not a free-for-all, and I saw some commentator from GE Free NZ saying something about how, you know, you've got to have regulation. Well, that is actually the point. This is a biotech or gene technology regulator dedicated to this, so it's not an add-on to some other regulator like EPA.
So you think the Australian model is the thing people should look to if they want to get their heads around what you're planning?
Well, it's certainly part of that. I mean, we've also heard from the Australians that if they did it again, they would make some changes to that. And so looking to that, we're working very closely with the Australians to make sure that we're pretty much in step. And at the same time, obviously, our needs are always a little bit different. And we're just going to try and make sure we do it really carefully and clearly.
When will that consultation, when will something be put to the public, do you think?
Well, it was put to the public last year. It was part of our election campaign. We campaigned on it. Most other parties agreed with it. It will be the document, so the draft changes to the law. The bill we're expecting to have ready at the end of this year. That will be, obviously, everybody who wants to have it will have a copy of that. We'll talk that through. It will go through a full committee, select committee process. We will be listening and take on board people's views. And as I said, there's no area more likely to support this than the science sector. The science sector has been calling for it forever.
I thank you for your time. That's the Science Minister, Judith Collins.